Be nice.
Spirit Mornings. Good morning. Welcome. I'm Bruce McGregor with
Chris McGregor.
And today, Chris, we have guests.
Take it away, Teresa.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Teresa. Today is the day after Chris's birthday.
Yay.
Happy day after to you.
No.
Happy day after.
And my dear, dear friend and friend of many people, Monsignor Andrew Vaccari.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. There's a priest in the studio.
They were just waiting for you to finish, Teresa. They would have applauded for you, too.
No, that's not necessary. He should get it all because he needs to be awakened. He's not the morning person. I am, and this is really a sacrifice for him.
Now, yesterday was an important day, not just because it was my birthday, but the Marian calendar. Do you remember what it is? $100 question.
She told me I forgot.
August 20th. Oh, I'm clanking this morning. August.
You're blinging.
I'm blinging. August 21st, 1879. Ireland.
Oh, Knock.
Oh, the Feast of the Apparition at Knock.
Yeah.
That's right.
Knock. I missed Knock.
8 o'clock at night.
I missed Knock. Because I fell down the mountain of Mourne. You don't know that story? I will tell you that some other time.
Anyway, so
I was at Knock. I was able to get there about in 1994.
Uh-huh.
Oh, beautiful place of faith and people coming from all different directions in the area. Beautiful, wonderful spot.
I reflect on that on my birthday. She remains silent. How can I model that? I think.
Well, you're making up for her on that one.
We need to help Mary out. She needs some words. No, we're just Monsignor Vaccari is with us because we've just finished a marathon, beautiful marathon, spiritual marathon of prayer and convening in the spirit. We had the opportunity, I think we probably talked about it ad infinitum this last couple months, but it's been on our heart, a week-long experience of praying on the culture, preparing a culture for holiness. How can we do that? How can we make, what's our contribution to bring about a greater holiness in our culture? And with that, we had a convention at St. Benedict's, the beautiful St. Benedict Center in Schuyler. And many, many wonderful friends came in from around the country, mm-hmm. including Nina Reedy, who was too tired to get up. She's with us in spirit. She was going to come this morning, but they're leaving also soon to go back to their respective places. And so Brooklyn, California, a variety of places in California, Kansas,
Illinois,
South Dakota, Illinois, and a variety of other places. There was
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
That's
they came
right.
Up from
that's
Florida.
Right. Marie Capasso from Florida. So it was a real menagerie.
Yeah. Well, we met many wonderful people up there when
yes.
we were there.
We had the wonderful workshops and our own Bruce and Chris, along with a priest they had never met. It was such a beautiful union of mind and heart, the way the three of you, a beautiful priest from Southern California, actually from San Diego, mm-hmm. who's been involved with the ProSanctity movement for years, since he was a whiny seminarian.
There
because
you go.
When he started, he says, you know, I don't know, you know, what should I get involved in? And then he stumbled, literally stumbled in on a ProSanctity gathering and meeting and was hooked. And the whining went away and he's become...
Yeah, talking about Father Michael Murphy,
yes,
of course.
Yes, Father Michael Murphy from Southern California.
Wonderful man.
Pastor at Sacred Heart and Coronado Island, that little village.
Very nice.
Very nice.
We're going to go visit him soon.
Absolutely.
Oh, you should. It's worth the trip.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's a beautiful setting.
Yeah, he was a radio guy, too, yeah. before he got
he was
into
in
the priesthood.
I believe it was in Phoenix. You know, he was a radio disc jockey in his early years and, you know, kind of searching for what God wanted him to do and be. And before he knew it, you know, he got caught,
yep.
you know, in a very beautiful way by the Holy Spirit.
It's a great story.
So we've just finished with that, and we want to celebrate this year. We really want to, that as a people of God, we have received much in our faith, and we have to proclaim it. We have to share it with one another. It's not an option. It's just not an option. But we also feel many times alone and left out, and, you know, the culture seems so, you know, overwhelming, so much bigger than we are, that we need those spiritual helps and resources. So for that reason, we gathered and convened, and we invited many, many people to join us. We prayed, we laughed, we we ate, we celebrated. It was a wonderful opportunity, and we deepened our faith, a faith that has, like a seed, has to bear fruit. And we certainly dedicated on almost an hourly basis our time to Mary, Mother of Trust, that we would become saints. That's our constant refrain in ProSanctity, and I believe in our faith, you know, O Immaculate Heart of Mary, true model of every holiness, give us trust to become saints. Because we're afraid, and it's bigger than we are, and I don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so today we dedicate this day, which is just a continuation of our convention, really. So thank you for having us, because
absolutely.
It really is kind of a nice closure, you know, as everybody goes back to their homes and respective workplaces, that we remember some essential elements, and Mary is an essential element. And I'm going to turn it over to our dear Monsignor Vaccari, who has a new position now. I don't know if you heard. You may not have heard that day you were there. Monsignor is now the new National Spiritual Advisor of the ProSanctity Movement.
Oh, yay! Yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm going to have him open us in a little prayer, and we'll begin to reflect and deepen our understanding as Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, and our Queen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a great delight to be at the convention and to see so many people from Brooklyn, some of whom are still here and are listening, and we're happy that you're here, Rosemary and Angela and Judita and Sue and Maria Cotee. And I think all the other Brooklynites have gone home by now. But also about the convention, one of the beautiful things was the families, how many families came together.
Mm, lots of kids.
And lots of kids, right? And
the
it was
zoo.
A lot of enthusiasm and energy as children bring. But I think that's so important for the building the culture for holiness, mm-hmm. because that's really going to continue to happen in families. It's where it has happened and where it will continue to happen. And certainly in the lives of all individuals, single people and consecrated life and those who are ordained. But in families, there's a special situation, a special opportunity to build that culture for holiness. So it was wonderful, really absolutely beautiful. I wanted to start with the antiphon for evening prayer as a brief reflection. It's a beautiful tribute to our Blessed Mother. Blessed are you, Virgin Mary, because you believed that the Lord's words to you would be fulfilled. Now you reign with Christ forever. Lord God, we thank you for giving us your Blessed Mother, for letting her be our mother as well. We ask you to help us follow her example of faith, that we may grow in faith, build a world of faith, and bring all people to you, so that we can make this world a holier and more loving place. And we pray in your name, for you are Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
So can you tell our listeners about Mary, Queen?
Mary, Queen.
Mary, Queen.
Mary, Queen of Heaven. Mm-hmm. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, there is a reference to a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. It's a beautiful image that comes to us, and it expresses what the Church has believed for many, many centuries, the special honor that Mary has. It's been given to her by God. All of the blessings that come to us through Mary, all of the honor that is given to Mary, it's all from God. She's not the one looking for honor for herself. She's not the one who's looking for any glory for herself. She's looking for us to be closer to her Son, for us to be more Christ-like. And God has honored her. God has given her a beautiful place in heaven and a beautiful place in the Church. And it all goes back to God's overabundant, superabundant love. Mary said yes to that love, the moment of the Annunciation. Is Mary's yes, the classic scene of Mary saying yes. The angel comes, she says, I'm not really sure what's happening, but okay, God, I put myself in your hands. Mm-hmm. Here it is. I give you me. I give you everything you want because you've given me everything. So I offer everything in return to you. It's a simple yes, a yes with faith, as we heard in this beautiful antiphon, a yes in which she opens herself to the many possibilities. And God uses her as his instrument. And, you know, when you meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary especially, we have so many scenes that are connected with Mary, so many scenes in which she is the most prominent or figures so prominently in the scene. And the last scene of the Rosary, the last mystery of the Rosary, is this mystery that we celebrate today, the Queenship of Mary. It's an image that helps us understand that she has a very unique place, and that in response to her response, God has crowned her. God has given her a beautiful intercessory role, a beautiful exemplary role for us to follow, for us to imitate.
And even though that we often meditate on her humanness, she was fully human. There's nothing not human about Mary. And we can walk through the scriptures and see this little woman, you know, doing all the things that women do. And yet she had a special touch, and God had given that touch to her. He chose her, and she said yes to that choice. But in that choice, we have to really, when he said, "Behold your mother," you know, when Jesus from the cross said, "Behold your mother," lifted her up and reminded us that he had chosen her. Mm-hmm. You know, reminded us that she has a special place, and that special place, you could use a lot of terms, but we call queen. You know, we call our lady. You know, she is she in that sense, she really is to be looked to. She's not just one like all of us. You know, I mean, don't want to diminish her role as in her human role. But at the same time, that special touch of God has to be recognized. And that's what we want to do today, is to recognize that how much God loves us by choosing her and chose her. I like to think of the Father, you know, just wondering, how is he going to love us? You know, he had all this love. And how is that going to be expressed? Oh, I will, a beautiful woman that through whom I will send my son. How beautiful, you know, that she became that vehicle, that instrument. And yet still her free will was not taken away, that she was allowed to answer the question, you know. And she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me." Our queen says, "Behold, handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me." So that docility, that humility, again, that modeling that she gives to us.
And sometimes the title queen can seem so distant and so remote because of the majesty or the ceremony that's associated with it. But if you notice in the prayer that we say at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, the Salve Regina, it's followed immediately by Mother of Mercy. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Because that's what she is. She is the Queen of heaven and earth, but she has brought to us the mercy of God. Jesus has come to us through her. And when we look at Jesus, we see somebody who is full of mercy. And boy, in this world today, we certainly know we need a lot of mercy. Mercy for ourselves, and mercy to show the compassion of good of God, the goodness of God. How many people are struggling in families, in individual situations? How many people are struggling with either their own current situations or things that maybe they went through a long time ago? And it's that healing power of mercy that can transform us and can transform one another. And so I think it's so important to think of her not as a remote queen who is distant from us, but somebody who is very close to us. And she understands what it means to struggle. She had a tremendous amount of struggle in her life, difficulties, uncertainties, poverty of her life. She wasn't somebody who was a queen in an earthly sense of wealth or palace or anything like that, but somebody who was able to bring to us the goodness and the mercy of God as she brings Jesus to us.
Chris. Yeah, I'm struck by today's gospel reading, which happens to be the one where Jesus uses the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and how the master has those who come very early on received a day's wage, but then there are those who wait until the last moment, and he's trying to help those who came early say, are you going to outdo me in generosity? Are you going to prevent me from being there for them? And Mary really is that model of that first worker in the vineyard who is not begrudging the others their day. If she wants, even though she was there at the very beginning, she's not saying, "I am so proud and I'm so lofty, why I should have more." She's actually one who says, even to the very last moment, yes, bring them forward, bring them to my son, even at the last moment, you know, that model of mercy, that reading, I think you could see Mary as the model of how we are to respond.
And she doesn't, as you said, she doesn't place herself forward. I'm the queen, you know, I'm the special. And in fact, she almost disappears. We really have to seek the face of Mary in the scriptures. We really have to seek the face of Mary, because she's not a walking around, you know, full of herself as we might be, you know, as we might do. But she's there present behind the scenes, waiting outside the room while her son is preaching and teaching in all the different places that he was standing below the cross, immersed in the midst of the apostles there in the upper room, always hidden. But you find her, you know, just that glimpse of her. But she's there and she's central. She's there and she's central, but she doesn't place herself above everyone. At the same time, she does have a special place, and that should not be diminished either. That beautiful balance that we should have in our spiritual life. There was one author that said, Mary is not the creator, she is not the redeemer, she is the opposite of a goddess. She never substituted herself for God. She never made herself bigger than who she was. In fact, she always diminished herself. She put herself behind the scenes to be at service, to be ready. Even in the wedding of Cana, really, we highlight, you know, her instrumentality, but she was just making sure everybody had what they needed, you know. There's no wine. You know, they have no wine. She's just busy about the things that, you know, that were needed. You know, the needs of that human community at that place, and the needs of our human community today. And the needs of my family and my community today. I mean, she is very, very interested when we have no wine. Come to her, you know, and she will go to the sun. You know, she has that special role. Why shouldn't we? If she's the one that turns water into wine, why are we not going to her all the time? You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome back to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor. And a lot of that rain fell right on top of you out in Elkhorn the other day.
Oh my gosh, wow. It was just buckets, literally buckets. And one window we couldn't get closed, and so buckets, literally buckets.
No. And of course, that was probably the one where the rain was just
going sideways. Yeah. We couldn't tell if all the places that we've patched in the ceiling of the old farmhouse were leaking, because the rain didn't come down, it came sideways. So yeah, it came through all the open windows. That's what it did. And our dear friends from California and New York, who rarely have the experience of tornado and sirens, got it, is it? Thank you, God, for giving them a full Nebraskan experience.
Would not have been the same without it. Absolutely. Something would have been missing.
We're here with Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity, and also, we're graced to have with us Monsignor Andrew Vaccari, Chancellor of the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, also a pastor of Queen of Saints in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Yes, Queen of All Saints, yes. The parish that I'm assigned to, and it's a beautiful congregation, kind of small congregation for us, but beautiful people from all different cultures and backgrounds, all different ages. We have a parish school associated with it. It's a church that was built in 1911, and the church, school, and rectory are all one continuous building that were designed by the person who later became Cardinal Mundelein in Chicago.
Yeah, wow.
And it's a small castle. You're the king of the castle. Talk about kings and queens.
And how appropriate. Queen of all saints. So we're talking about the queenship of Mary today.
It certainly is. And he has, besides being chancellor of the diocese and working in the tribunal and spiritual advisor of the Prosanctity movement, he also has to take care of few little housekeeping details of a 1912 building, or whatever year you said it was. An old building.
That's right.
But it's a beautiful place, center of prayer. $100 question.
Yep. Uh-oh. Here we go.
This particular celebration, Queenship of Mary, came 4 years after...
Da, 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 da. I know that. It's the Assumption.
Right.
1954.
Oh, right.
I was just waiting. I was just waiting. Dramatic pause.
How come Chris always gets the answer? And what else?
She's the brilliant one. I just pushed buttons.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. Actually, you've gone ahead of her in leaps and bounds.
Thank you, Teresa.
There's that slice of humility.
Gotta have that every day.
Steal right.
And in the year 1954, what was special about that year?
I was 2 years old.
You were?
Yeah. Well, it was special to me anyway.
Well, let me see. Everybody leapt to tell us how old you were this weekend. So I got to subtract that. No, Teresa wasn't here yet.
I actually went then in October of 1954 when Pope Pius XII announced. He said, after centuries of already knowing that this was a reality and of calling her our queen and consecrating our lives to her, let's just name it. You know, yeah. Beautiful. He did, you know, it's time. And in a time when we're perhaps even experiencing, you know, post-war and depression and still so many things around us that are difficult to deal with, we need Mary more than ever before.
Amen.
You know. So he dedicated the whole year. This was my point. Not just that it was the year of my birth, but
which was a great year.
Oh, it was a great
wonderful
year.
Marian year.
I barely made it though. I had to scoot in there at the end, December 30th.
That's okay.
But I wanted to be born. No, I didn't. No. I actually even and none of these things were planned. God plans all these things. We can take absolutely no credit. But really, how beautiful that sets the tone. Notice where, you know, the year you were born. Look at that year, and you'll find all kinds of wonderful things that say to you something that God wants to say to you. And so, what God wanted to say to me was to make Mary the center of your life, Teresa, and through her you will find Jesus, and I did. And I hope we all will. And that, again, isn't anything that I can claim. It really is a gift from God. And that's really where we have to go in this next segment. You know, how can we make this big celebration, Queenship of Mary, and Monsignor was alluding to the fact that it's a little difficult for us sometimes to relate to Mary as queen, not because we don't relate to Mary, but because we don't relate to queens.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So how can we make this practical? How can today be a cake day, a memorial day, a day that we make memory of our Blessed Mother? What can we do today that will set the tone for a new season? We're beginning of a new school year. Some of our students, you know, not everybody's in school, but a lot are going back to school. If they've already been in school since the 15th, mm-hmm. you know, most likely, or that particular week. What can we do? Monsignor, any ideas?
Well, I think going back just to the year of 1954, it was also the 100th anniversary mm-hmm. of...
I see.
1854. Right. the Declaration of the Immaculate Conception. That's right. So I think looking at the Marian connections and looking at our Blessed Mother in particular on this feast, I think one thing we can do is to try to see her as one who walks with us. And in all of our activities and all of the things we do, she's with us. She helps us. She prays for us. She looks out for us. I think, you know, to think of her with us, accompanying us, not just because it'll keep us from going in the wrong direction, because you don't want to embarrass yourself with somebody mm-hmm. so holy alongside of you, but because when you're conscious of being in the presence of someone who is so good and so holy, I think you try to do that. You try to be that way yourself. And to think of her with us. With Jesus, most importantly, of course. But so I think that just a very simple attitude adjustment or a simple attitude magnification of that accompaniment with Mary. I think another thing we can do is at the end of the day, when we finish our day in a prayerful manner, just try to say thank you to Jesus, thank you to God, but also to include a prayer to our Blessed Mother. And at some point during the day, to be sure that we turn to her and pray the rosary. It's really not a long prayer. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of turning our attention to her. Because she brings us, as we've said so many times this morning, she brings us to Christ. She brought Christ to the world. She brought Christ in Bethlehem. And again, she brings Jesus to us every day. So I think those are kind of simple ways that really will help us to focus on the goodness of Mary, the way she leads us in faith, the way she accompanies us, the way she prays for us as we go through our day, trying to grow in holiness, trying to follow Jesus.
And we often say, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, WWJD. But we can also say, what would Mary do? You know, we can pause through the day in our moments when we have to sift through a decision, sift through, you know, even looking at world events, looking at issues. You know, what would Mary do? You know, she would pause. She would ponder. She would go in haste. She would intercede. She would run to her son. You know, she would name the issue. She did what we sometimes think God is too busy to hear. She named what the issue was. If you go to Cana, what did she do? There's no wine. Son, we have no wine. What is that? That simple little statement reminds us that God is concerned about everything in our lives. Even down to what we're drinking, mm-hmm. what we're having for dinner, you know, that and all of that's important. You mean I can talk to God about that? Yes, Mary did. She brought it to Jesus. She brought it to God. She brought it to her son, you know. So must we, you know, to entrust. And that would be the point that I would, from a week ago, we celebrated Maximilian Kolbe, who consecrated his life to Mary and was able to heroically give his life in the end. But it was through a daily consecration. That didn't just happen at the end. So to entrust our lives to Mary and to do that consciously, you know. Today is a day that to consciously rededicate or consecrate, maybe for the first time, you know, our lives to Mary. Mother of God, Theotokos. You know, not of her own choice, but God's choice, that she said yes to be Mother of God. And she is our mother. Mother, I dedicate myself to you.
And not of her own merit either, but exactly. Because of God's overabundance. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the great Saint Maximilian mm-hmm. Kolbe, but Monday was another fantastic feast day for, you're looking him up once in your another great saint, a doctor of the church, mystical tradition, who is attributed
to
the great
that
prayer,
mm-hmm.
yes, the great prayer,
Memorare.
Exactly, yeah, of Mary. Right. Do you want to speak right. about Saint Bernard?
Well, Saint Bernard was a great reformer in the church. He tried to bring, especially the monastic world, tried to bring it back to its life, that the life that it has is a vocation. And in doing so, he spoke so much about the love of God and Mary's role in the beautiful prayer, the Memorare, is attributed to him. There's another prayer that starts off, Jesu dulcis memoria, Jesus, the sweetness of your memory, or in the way it's usually translated, Jesus, the very thought of you. Mm-hmm. And it goes on to describe how thinking of Jesus is something that lifts us up. Just the thought of Christ, just as the thought of someone you love and you know loves you, refreshes you and gives you new courage and new life. And he goes on to describe how wonderful it is just to think of and to search for Christ. And then he says, but how much more wonderful it is when you find him, when you find the Lord. If it's so great to think of him and to search for him and to remember all he's done, how much more beautiful is it when you realize that he's here? And ultimately, it's not that we have found Christ, but he has found us. He has come to look for us. And when Jesus says on the cross, I thirst, it is a thirst for us, a thirst for our love, a thirst for souls. So again, as this so often we know, the saints teach us and tell us how to grow in holiness, how to find how to find greater joy and happiness in this world. So often we think of holiness and following the saints as a way that forces us to miss all of the things of this world, but really it helps us enter more deeply and more profoundly into the mystery of life, what is really human and what is really most important. God, Jesus teaches us how to be fully human. It's not that he wants us to, not that he expects us to live in this world unaware of any of the difficulties or the problems. It's the very opposite. He wants us to help make this world a better place. He wants us to bring more compassion, more mercy, more truth, more goodness, more love in the world. And so Saint Bernard, in talking about Jesus, really helps us to do that. And his love for our Blessed Mother is legendary, and we're very grateful to him and thank you for bringing him up.
Well, and I just love the Memorari, because when you think about the role of the queen, the way that they would have understood it in Mary's time, mm-hmm. that she is the mother of the king. She right. is, and that in those cases, they would go to the mother mm-hmm. of the king to intercede. Mm-hmm. As, for example, in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. when they would go to Bathsheba, and they would say, go to Solomon, yeah. will you intercede
talk
for us?
Talk for me, talk for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when St. Bernard writes this with this wonderful prayer, oh, mm-hmm. remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that right, anyone who right. fled to thy protection or implored thy help was left unaided. And it really is, it is the great prayer that you would enter into. You would go to a queen and you would say, you know, aid us. Well, Mother, the
Word
incarnate.
I've been promoting the Express Novena the last time. I heard it on the radio. I heard it here for the first time. But it's it's a wonderful story of Mother Teresa. And really, it enters you into that. It makes you cling to Mary, really, as Mother. I mean, she often, when things were just desperate, when she needed an answer now, you know, we need an answer now, God, and nothing's coming, but no, this is not the answer, Lord. Remember, she goes right to Mary, you know, 9 times she goes to her in that, like a child, mommy.
That's right.
I love it. You know, it's so childlike and it's so simple. It's not a superficial and it's not, playing games with God. It really is what we need to be. Get simple. We are children of the Father. And we need to go to the mother.
And it's not that you're trying to get the answer that you want.
Exactly.
It's just like a child. Because Susie Malkus and I, we had a classic example. We did that in Rome when our flight left us. Mm-hmm. And we were in Rome. But right before then, we were doing the Express Memorari. I mean, we were praying that great prayer. Oh, you know, remember almost gracious Virgin Mary. But what happened is that we got the answer to the prayer. Because like a mother says to a little child, because I've had 3 that have pulled on my leg, you know, that it's okay. You're going to be all right. Yes, everything will be fine. And there's a real comfort. And Susie and I ended up having an experience in that Rome airport that I am so grateful to God that we were able to experience. We got the answer to the prayer, and it's exactly what we needed, and it has benefited us, and I won't bore everybody with it. But that's where, because we did fly to her, and never was it known that anyone who implored thy help or sought thy intercession
was left unaided.
And we weren't. And that was a real affirmation that, don't worry, you know, we fled to your protection, and you protected us, and it was great.
And that, of course, we always conclude those type of prayers with a thank you, God. We know that you've already heard our prayer. We know it's through Mary's intercession, not Mary didn't make it happen, that you, the Father who care about us so much, did that for us. It lifts our faith. It helps us to grow. And that's what Mary wants. She wants us to grow in faith. You know, blessed is she who believed that the words that were given to her, you know, would be fulfilled. Blessed is that word of God then becomes greater and more invasive in our life. That's the one thing that should invade our life is the word of God, you know, and the word of God that reminds us constantly that we are children of the Father, you know, and to entrust our whole lives. So really, today is a day to reorder things a little bit. Do I awake in the morning dedicating the day to Mary, who brings me to Jesus, who brings me to a greater relationship with the Blessed Trinity, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity? Do I pause with her? Hail, Holy Queen. Maybe the first words, maybe that's all I can say when I wake up in the morning, right, Monsignor?
Maybe.
You know, the first words. And then again, as you mentioned, and just to reiterate that, you know, to pause at noonday, you know, and to remember the great gift of the Incarnation through the Angelus. What a beautiful, it's the beginning of a new season to start a new habit or to refresh an old habit, to pause at the midday to say the Angelus, you know, to remember Mary's real role in relation, you know, to our need for redemption, you know, and that she said yes, you know, and to with her then recommit ourselves to saying yes to God throughout the day. And then again, in the end of the day, I know somebody who never ends the day, no matter how tired he is, no matter how many huge issues in his office and in his parish, that never ends the day without offering the rosary. Never, never. And I know he wants to remain nameless, but he's sitting next to me.
It's not Bruce.
I'm not sitting next to her.
But also in that prayer, you know, that you were talking about, the Memorare, we address her as Mother of the Word Incarnate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mother of the Word Incarnate. Mm-hmm. And your chapel here is the Chapel of the Incarnate Word. It's beautiful. Yep. And certainly her motherly protection and intercession is here, I know. But I think it's a wonderful reminder of, again, the humanity of Jesus, how Jesus has come to be with us and how Mary has brought him to be with us. And if we can try to imitate that in our day-to-day life, to bring Jesus to others, it's following the example of Mary. Not in the birthing way, physically, but still in a spiritual way of bringing him to whatever situation we're in. And so many situations we don't expect to find ourselves in. God leads us in ways we never expect to have to travel. But wherever we are, God has a plan for us. And part of that plan is for us to bring Christ to others.
You know, I'm really, as we were talking, I just have this image in my mind of that scene in The Passion of the Christ, where here is that moment outside of, it's nighttime, and they're outside the court, and everyone is scurrying, they're worried, they're scared, and, you know, Mary Magdalene's clinging to the Blessed Virgin, John is clinging, and Peter is just flailing all over the place, and she's trying to wait, stop, and trying to aid him, and it's, even through the hardest of times, you look at those two that stayed with her throughout that, you know, at least through the movie, but that's that image that if you can, even through the hardest things, you can walk with her and she can help the unbearable, you can bear it. You know, it's that aiding, even as Christ is offering himself for us and going through that Paschal mystery, you know, they walk with, they're strengthened by her presence and her help. And I think that visual is a strong one for people who, we've all encountered them. I'm like you, Teresa. I've never had a problem with Mary. I love Mary. But you encounter people every day that say, I just don't get the Mary thing. I don't understand. And you hear that from Catholics, and it almost breaks my heart because it's kind of like, what, you know.
Well, even if they don't get it, she's got them.
You know? Yeah, exactly. That's what I tell them, too.
And it's so, just to spend time with John 19, where Mary stood below the cross of her son. You know, and then he says to her, behold your mother. So right there, if we would just spend time with that passage, and we would be able to see that Mary stands by us in our difficult times silently. So of course, sometimes we don't hear her, but she's there encouraging, she's there interceding, she's there being that rock that, you know, we can, if we open our eyes, we'll see that she is there, you know, leading us to a greater faith, you know, leading us really into the fullness of faith.
And that's why knock. Yeah. We go back, all the way back to the beginning. Yeah. That's why August 21st, 1879, Mary stood silent. Yeah. Because for those people during that great time of persecution and famine, and, you know, she stood with them. Yeah. Silent and say, I am here, I understand. And you're silent. Your voices are silent. You're the oppressed. But I am standing with you.
And many times you don't need a lot of words. I mean, most of the time in a difficult moment, you don't want a lot of words. You just want presence. You just want the warmth of somebody there who has an inner strength. And Mary witnesses where she received that inner strength, you know, through the receptivity of the word and letting that word dwell in her and letting that word then bear fruit in her. I mean, the fruit of her womb is Jesus. We say that every time we say the Hail Mary, the fruit of her womb. So the fruit of our womb, the fruit of our inner life every day, does what come out of my mouth and do the way that I look at the issues and problems of mine, is it the fruit of my womb, the fruit of my prayer, the fruit of my relationship with the Lord? Or am I just going, you know, with easy answers or into despair and depression? No, go back and receive the word so you too will have words of hope. How do we become sowers of hope? Receive the word as Mary received it. And let that become the fruit of our prayerful lives, the fruit of our womb, the fruit of our union with God. That today, for ourselves as adults and children, is to more intimately unite ourselves with God through Mary in her way. She in a certain sense, you know, had when she was pregnant with God, when she was pregnant with Jesus, I mean, for 9 months, she just was simply present. You know, just to be present to God. So if I can't do anything else today, just be present to God as Mary was present in her womb. Be present. God is there. I don't see him. Make an act of faith. Today's a beautiful day to make an act of faith. You know, to stand below the cross with her, the difficulties of your day, you know, and just stand by her and say, I do believe. Yes, Lord, I do believe. That would be more than enough today to recommit myself to Mary, that she would be, we have that beautiful expression of Pope John Paul II who received it, Maximilian Kolbe had it, Montfort had it, totus tuus ego sum, I am all yours, you know, to be all yours today, Mary. You know, and to recommit to that and to reconsecrate my home to that and my work, you know, some little external image will help us internally. You know, a little sign of the cross, a Hail Mary at the beginning of your work today, you know, or Mary, I'm all yours at the beginning of a big meeting or a big council or whatever it is you have to do, or a big test if you're already into for our school students. You know, I mean, that just today, make a little extra effort. And have cake because it's a celebration day. A celebration day.
And I'm kind of caked out, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
unless you had a birthday yesterday. One last little, I know it's 8 o'clock, so we have to stop.
That's right.
We will be back September 21st to the 23rd at St. Benedict Center for a beautiful retreat that Bruce McGregor is thinking about attending.
He should go.
Praying with the Gospel of John and the Light of the Liturgy. Monsignor Vaccari and myself will be giving that retreat. We have it's a series. If you collect baseball cards, you can also collect these retreats. That's what somebody told me. we've done Matthew, Mark, Luke, and now we're up to John. And next year we'll do the letters of St. Paul in the year of St. Paul. Right. Uh-huh. But this year we're doing Praying with the Gospel of John, September 21st to the 23rd, Pro Sanctity co-sponsored. It will be a prayerful, reflective retreat on the Gospel of John. And I get the Mary Talks.
Surprise.
Of course. Looks at Monsignor.
So go to either St. Benedict Center's website or the Pro Sanctity Center website, www.prosanctity.org, all one word, and you will find all the information you need. And Monsignor, can you close us with a prayer?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Lord God, we ask you to bless us this day, to bless all of those who are listening, all our families and friends. Help us be instruments of peace. Help us to be people who bring Christ to the world. You gave us your mother, and she is our model, our friend, our example of faith. Help us to be like her, to help us become more like your son. And we pray in his name, for his Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Monsignor, thanks so much.
Thank Teresa Monahan.
And Monsignor Andrew Vaccari.
Don't you love them?
I do.
I do.
These are great days
when they're here.
We are blessed. Thank you. Say thanks to God for the blessing of the time we've had together this morning. Absolutely. Right.